Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf, Hayemi Meseches Nida Daf Zayin. We are holding on Vav Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Hosam over there, Meseches Chala, discussing a dough that a woman is forming, which encountered perhaps Tumah. So it's in a state of Suffolk. Perhaps Tami, perhaps not. Nan Hosam, Neilala, Suffolk Tumah. So there developed in this dough a Suffolk tumor. Now, the question is like this. Typically, we're meant to guard, we're meant to do shmira on holy items. So truma, the challah portion from a dough given to a kohen, you have to guard these items. You can't allow them to become tummy. In fact, Rashi brings a pasuk, mishmeres truma yisoy, plural. You're meant to guard something which is tahor from becoming tummy, and even something which is perhaps tummy, but not confirmed. You have to still watch it and guard it from becoming a definite tummy. Okay, so back to our story. Neilad lo safek tuma. They developed in this dough a safek. Perhaps it became tummy. What happens going forward? Does she have to spear it from any further tuma or not? You see, in this dough, there is an element of kedusha. There is that challah portion, which is meant to be separated and given to the kohen, it's within this dough. So, on account of that challah element, perhaps there's a chiyuv of shmira to guard the dough from tumah. Achaloi gilgal. So, if it's before she formed into a proper dough, so the chiyuv challah has not yet been activated, there's no obligation to guard it. Teyasa betumah, it could be processed betumah, no concern. And eventually, when she'll separate the portion of dough for the kohen, okay, so it'll be tummy. We'll have to take it and use it as fuel. Mishel gilgula, but suppose the episode occurred after she formed it into a proper dough. In which case, the challah obligation has already been activated. So it's as though it's here. We see the challah element before us in this dough, and that obligates us to treat it accordingly and guard it from any further tumah experiences. Te'asa b'tahara has to be processed b'tahara. And the Gemara explains why. Achaloi gilgalot te'asa b'tumah, if it occurred before formed into dough, you can just do it b'tumah. The chulaninu, because we're talking about regular materials without any special status. Umotalurgram tumah, the chulan shabbat Yisrael, a person can cause tumah to regular materials in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that ultimately it's going to bring about that the challah, the future challah taken out of this dough, will have tumah. It's irrelevant because in its current state there's no kedusha. But Mishel Gilgalah, however, if the suffolk tumah occurred after being formed as dough, so the challah element is already here, is already sort of embedded in this dough, you have to treat the whole dough accordingly. The entire dough gets special status because of the chal element embedded within it. Te'asa b'tahara. It has to be processed b'tahara. Reason is because chulin atvulin l'chal, because although it's chulin, but it's tvulin, comes from the word tevel. It contains within it that element of chal which will be separated from it. Hatvulin l'chal ki chal adam, the entire batch, entire batter has to be treated like chal because of the anticipated, because of the future, because of the chal that will be separated from it. And one is not allowed to cause tuma to chal. So this entire batch is treated like chal because of the chal element contained within it. Tana, we learned further in Ebraisa, which explains the Mishnah. We turn to the next moment. Although we are compelling her to guard the dough from any further issues, but the actual challah which will be separated from this dough of uncertainty is of course teluya. It's sort of hanging, it's in its pending limbo status. You can't lo yochel lo yisoyf, the kohen can't eat it nor burn it because of the original suffolk that took place with this dough. Be'eza suffolk amru, continues the Gemara. What type of suffix are we talking about? Which requires us to tell, you know, to point out that the challah is inedible. Well, obviously, if it's a straightforward suffix tumah, did it touch, you know, there's no need to discuss this and specify that you shouldn't eat the challah. Obviously, we all know that, right? We're speaking about something with a catch. Suffix challah. We're talking about a possible tumah that is unique to challah, which is only a concern by challah, as opposed to ordinary chulin, which encounters the same exact experience, would not be a concern. So it's a, sort of a slight chance, a slight uncertainty. And because it's challah, or because it's chulin hatabulin l'challah, chulin which contains within it challah, it is susceptible even to this sort of minor concern. My suffix challah, what suffix? Which is something which wouldn't pose a concern ordinarily, but does regarding challah. Abaye, Rav, Adam, Tavai, they both explain. Don't think we're talking about obvious cases of suffix tumah, like a case of two paths, where we know that in one there is tameh, there's a mace lying there, and he walked through one, he's not sure which path he took. Of course, that's a straightforward, obvious suffix that would affect anything and anybody. The hasim chulim great danami matami, there'd also be matami regular chulim. Misafik. There's no need to discuss that case. Elabin Nisham. We're talking about something which is unique and poses a concern only by things of higher standards. Benisham. By leaning, which is this name of a Mishnah. Zav v'tor shoyi perkin minachamor. So we know that a Zav, if he leans on a person who's Torah, makes him tummy. And vice versa, if the Torah leans on him, it's called Tumas Hesed. Masa, right? So, suppose they're not really leaning on each other, just unloading a truck. Shoyi perkin minachamor, they're unloading a donkey together. Or itoyan, or loading up the donkey. Is there a concern for the fellow who's tired, standing and working alongside the tummy? Well, it depends how heavy the loads are. Bismash Masam covered, if they're dealing with heavy loads, tummy, then the fellow is tummy because we're concerned that perhaps throughout the loading or unloading process, somebody leaned on each other and, you know, lost balance and sort of supported the other, which is a transmitter of tumor. Mason Kalba, we're talking about light loads, Torah, there's no concern in his Torah. The Kulon Torah is Bnei Knesset, Rashi learns, even by the heavy load, there's no issue by Bnei Knesset, by ordinary, you know, citizens sitting in the shul. That's another way of saying individuals who are, you know, of higher standard, they eat their regular food, betahara, it's not a concern for them, because it's a slight chance, which is not really something we have to take seriously regarding ordinary day-to-day activities, such as regular chulin. But when it comes to truma, when it comes to chulin, we give it higher standards. V'tmein, and it is considered tamei, l'truma, if this episode relates to truma, it's an issue, right? And likewise, regarding you know, chulin, that's tevulim l'chalal, the dough that from which the chalal will be separated. It's also considered like truma, like challah, and has that same, you know, standard to abide by. In which case, if that's the suffix tumah that happened to this dough, eventually the challah separated from it will not be eaten by the kohen; will be sort of in limbo. Ask the Gemara: is that so? V'chulin hatvulin l'challah k'challah tamu? Is that true that a dough which has within it a potential challah, the entire dough is treated like challah and given higher standards? But now we have a Mishnah, which seems to indicate otherwise. Challah is challah, and the rest of the dough. But not isha she tefula asya. A woman is a tefula yayim, meaning she immersed in the mikvah but hadn't yet experienced sunset, so she's partly tahar. And a tefula yayim does not adversely affect chulin. It only would affect like truma, right? So she's trying to make a dough, knowing that within this dough there is challah, which she has to keep away from. So how does she go about it? She has this big batch of dough, which is chayiv and challah. How does she take off challah successfully? She can knead the dough, and she removes the portion for challah, but not yet designated as such. When she puts it into some sort of boar, some sort of semi-utensil, which is not susceptible to tumah. So far, so safe, because it's not yet challah. It's going to be challah, but not yet. And then she sticks together the dough with this separated piece, without touching that piece, you know, just moving the board over. And now she finally declares it as challah. So that was a successful challah separation without touching it. Because there's no concern in the fact that she touched the original dough, because she, as a tefillah yom, didn't have a sheni l'tumah. Second level, and the dough at most would be a shlishi. Shlishi tar b'chulin. And by chulin matters, a shlishi is non-existent. So she does not taint the dough. The question is, what do you mean? But within this chulin dough, there's potential challah, which grants the entire dough a higher level, a higher standard. V'yamris, if you're going to tell me chulin atfulin nechala, chulin which has within it, that eventual challah, the entire dough is kechala domu. Hatamisino. This woman touched this. She had full yoyim. She touched anywhere in the dough. It's as though she touched chala. Why doesn't it become tamim? I'm not by you. I'll tell you why. There's a difference between a full yoyim interacting with dough versus the zav over there, which may have leaned on it. It says like this. I'm not by you. Kol shavad vaday vadoi metamichulun. A type of tuma, where if it's for sure, where it's definite, it would be metame chulin, just like, for instance, a zav. If you know the zav touched the chulin, of course it's tame. Likewise, even if it's just an uncertainty, they apply the concern in a case of chulin, which is tevulin lachal. Gazru al sveikoi, mishim chulin atvul lachal. So, if the basis, if the source here is a vaday tuma, which would affect chulin. So even though in this case it's a safek, he's unloading a truck, it may have lean, may have not lean. But since it's not just plain chulin that we're talking about chulin which has within chala, we treat it like chala, we treat it, give it higher standards, and it's affected by that situation. As opposed to a tefil yoyim, which has absolutely no say in the matter pertaining to chulin. He's not a player, he's a non-factor. Vay tefilim as opposed to tefil yoyim. So this tefil yom kiven dalei metame va'adoi chulin. Even if he's for sure a tefil yom, he wouldn't affect chulin. So likewise, he wouldn't affect even this dough which has within it chal. Okay, so according to Abaye, the difference is very clear. In the previous case, we have a zav who, if he would touch this, even regular chulin, of course he makes it tame. So even though it's just a slight suffix, not likely chance of tuma. Nevertheless, we'll machmer. Just like we would be machmer by turma and real challah, we also machmer by chulin, which is tava l'challah, close enough to challah, but by tefil yom, which has absolutely no effect on chulin, so he's a non-player. Likewise, even if it's chulin, not chulin l'challah. Ask the Gemara. Let's circle back to Maseches Nidah. What about that previous 24-hour period prior to noticing the dam? That's a situation where if it's vadai, of course it's metame even chulin. Phoenicia is a nida, full blown nida, of course she affects chulin. The vadai metame chulin. Vada'a metame chulin. And nevertheless, but loy gazru al sveikim shum chulin tul nechala. Still, this very same tum in its suffix format, i.e., the previous 24 hours where it's a suffix, it may have arrived, it may not have arrived. It will not affect chulin, which is tvulin lachal. How do we know? We learned this yesterday. The goes well. Sveikam shen tvulin tvulin lachal. Damar maz. We learned yesterday. Kibul me Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchok. So he answered bechulin shnas altaras kodesh. V'lo bechulin shnas altaras truma. In yesterday's discussion, we had that conclusion that chulin, which was treated in accordance with the laws of kodesh, will be affected by meis leis. So if the woman had interacted with those items during the previous 24 hours, they become Suffolk Tumah, but not by Chulin, which were Naswa Taras Truma, which are treated like Truma. And this is despite the fact that we're dealing with a bona fide, confirmed, a Tumah which would directly affect Chulin if it were a definite Tumah. So likewise, even in its Suffolk format, it should affect Chulin, which is being labeled, which is being treated like Truma. Just like that dough, which is being treated like challah because of the challah within it. Why not the same here? Says the Gemara, I'll give you another distinction. Another point of difference between that dough which has within it challah, which is treated like truma to a certain extent, as opposed to regular chulin material, which just happened to be treated like truma. Hasam like psicha bu truma. In your case, where you just had regular bananas, which the kohen, you know, chose to treat like truma, either, you know, to get them into the practice and to get into, or for whatever reason, there's no actual truma psicha mixed into those foods. Hocha psicha bu truma, as opposed to this dough, which has realistically within it, mixed within it, an element of truma, meaning challah, which is going to be separated from it in the future. So that's what has to be treated on a higher standard. Another answer to this question is Hanach. Let's leave aside Meis Leis, this Tumah of the previous 24 hours, which is merely the Rabbanon. So to begin with, the whole thing is only the Rabbanon, because Natari only tell me from when you notice the Dam going forward. This whole idea of Meis Leis is only Rabbanon. So suffice to say that we apply it to real truma, to real kodesh, but to apply it to chulin, which was treated like, it's already a stretch. Okay, so conclusion. Chulin, which has within it, you know, the challah, what status does it have? So regarding the zav that may have affected it. There we say, yeah. We treat as dough as though it's challah, and it's affected by it. It becomes safek tamei. As opposed to the isha who's at full yayim, they're not. Because that type of tumah is a much low level tumah that would never even affect chulin. Even if it was certainly an issue, it wouldn't affect chulin. As opposed to the zav, which can affect chulin, if it's definitely, you know, he definitely touched it. So therefore, even by a suffix, we say, look, chulin, which connects to challah, which has within it challah, is treated like challah, concerned that perhaps it happened. Now, what about the idea of meis leis, which does not apply to chulin, which was treated like truma? So we give two answers for that. Either because, realistically, there is no truma within it, contrast to the dough, which has an actual element of challah within it, so that therefore we don't have to treat this chulin to such a high standard to be affected by meis leis, or because the whole meis leis is only the rabbah. Continues the Mishnah. So speaking about meis leis, in a regular situation, a woman discovers a flow of dam. She's not only tummy from this moment onward. We apply a tumah meis leis. She's telling me for the previous 24 hours, as we explained, it's a tumah midrabanan, misafik, which is limited to kachim and perhaps truma as well. Comes the Mishnah and gives us exceptions. In some cases, we say dayan sha'at. They suffice with their moment, meaning the concern only applies from the moment of discovery going forward. It does not go back in time. Because talking about situations where it's unlikely for her to see this dam, it's sort of a fluke, it's unexpected. If it happened, it happened. Concern is only going forward. What are these exceptions? Rabbi Eliezer, Eimer, Arba Nosham Dayan Shat, and I have four exceptions, four examples where we say Dayan Shat, Pesula, Mulberis, Menikovitz Kena. Pesula, here we're talking about a woman who never experienced a period, it's her first time. Okay, so we say, look, it happened, but let's not go back in time. Muberish, expecting, unlikely for her to see. Dam, Menika, she's nursing, it was okay, an older woman. From my, you know, Rabbeim, I only heard about the first one, not the other ones. It turns out it was Avol. But the Mishnah concludes, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer, we follow Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and in fact we have four exceptions. Now the Mishnah will explain for us, define for us exactly how these, you know, exceptions express themselves. Ezohi Basula, what exactly does the Basula mean? Kol Shalei Rasa Dam Yemeh, we're talking about a woman who never experienced Dam. So even if she's not physically a Basula in terms of interacting with a man, but here we're talking about a Basula, it's her first time experiencing Dam. So it's relative to the period experience. Avav Shana Soigno, she's married, etc. Muberes, expectant woman, Mishiva, the Uber, once you notice her expectancy, at that point, full-blown Muberes, and she's not expected to have Dam. If she does, it's a fluke. And the tumah is only Dayashat. The third case is Menika. She's nursing. Until what point? Until she finishes the nursing period. Meaning until, 24 months. Which is considered the standard nursing period. But let's say she stopped nursing before that. Nasnabal Manika, she relegated it to a nursemaid. Gumalato, she just terminated the nursing. Oimeso, Loyelena, the child died. But it's still within 24 months of birth. Rameo, Imer, Matam, Meslais. That's it. It's back to normal. And the Meslais concept would apply to her if she has any dam going forward. Hacham, Imer, no. Dayashata, it still applies because until, 24 months are up, her system is still out of sync, and she's not really expected to have a period. Ezoi zakena. Let's move on to the zakena. How do you define that? So it's close to her stage of zikna. The Gemara later will explain exactly how to define that. She's considered an older woman, and also in conjunction with the fact that she had a cessation of a period for three cycles, which is, like a chazaka. So both elements together, the age factor and the cessation for three periods, renders her a zakena and lessens the concerns going forward. Rabbi Eliezer, or some say Rabbi Lazar, he says, actually, speaking of cessation, any woman can have that as well. Every woman who passed through three periods, three cycles, without seeing any dam, dayashata. That's it. So she's soon to be dam free for the time being, if she sees anything, dayashata. Rabbi Yossi Emer, let's go back to the Muberes Meinika. He says, there too, another element is required. Aside from being Muberes Meinika, you need to have three inactive periods. Sh'avar Alein, Sh'alish Oines, dayashata. So if they went through 3 months, three cycles without a period, then we say dayashata. In contrast to the earlier opinion, that you don't need this additional condition. As long as you're a Muberes or Menika, that suffices for Dayashat. Concludes the Mishnah. Ubame Amar or Amru Dayashat. When do we say that in these cases the concern is limited to the time of discovery going forward? Bria Rishoina. It's her first fluky experience. So we say, okay, it's really unexpected, it's unnatural. We're concerned about it, but only going forward, Aval B'Shniyah. But let's say it happened once, and then again. What does that say to you? That she's back to normal. She's back on track. She's seeing Dam. Metam Meis Leis. In that case, we apply Meis Leis to this woman. Now, Vim Rasa Rishayna Ba'inus. Let's say the first experience was an accident, triggered by some sort of external, trauma or something. Then we sort of don't reckon with it. Aval B'Shniyah Da'yashata. So then even the second time around, we consider like the second time, like the first. So it's the first time experience, and we say Dayashat. Okay, so conclusion. Typically, we apply the Tumah Meis Leis, except, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in four cases, Besula, Muberes, Menika, and Zakena. Now, by Zakena, we need, in addition to the age factor, also a cessation for three Oinis. And according to Rabbi Yesi, that rule applies to Muberes and Menika as well. But according to Tanakama, By the other ones, we don't need the cessation of three oines. Now, what is Muberes? Once it's discernible. What about Menika? Certainly, if she's still nursing, what if she's no longer nursing, but it's still within 24 months, we have Machlekes. And Rav Lazar has a chiddush that every woman who sees for three oinos is now considered dayashat. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar presented four exceptions. Besula, Muberes, etc. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, I only heard about Besula. Tanya, we have a Braisa, which presents a discussion between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Ata le shamata ni shamati. You say you didn't hear. I heard from my rabbi. I learned. Ata le shamata lachas. Yeah, you only heard about one. The Besula, ni shamati harbei. I heard of the many. So I can testify about those. You can just say you didn't hear, you didn't, but I did hear. Hey, no, I mean, look, we don't tell a person, the person sitting at home didn't see the new moon, come testify. We don't seek his assistance. We know he, how would he know? We turn to the person who was exposed to the new moon, who witnessed the new moon. We tell him to come see, to come tell us. So likewise, look, you say you didn't, you're not a prayer, you know, prize of this information. I am. Okay? So in fact, called Yom of Shabbat Yezer, her isn't going to be sure. So although the Mishnah says that Halacha adopts Rabbi Yezer's approach, but not throughout Rabbi Yezer's lifetime. When he was alive, they would follow Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. After Rabbi Yezer's passing, Rabbi Yeshua restored it to its former status. Rosh Hashanah is Medayik. Apparently, way back they did apply this exception to all four women, but then it sort of got forgotten. Rabbi Elazar represented it, and the community did not adopt his opinion, only after Rabbi Elazar's passing. Why? Look, either it is or it isn't. The answer is like this. My time, why didn't they go along with Rabbi Eliezer during his lifetime? Rabbi Eliezer is Shemuti. Rashi learns he was placed in Cherem and excommunicated. So they didn't want that everybody would adopt his viewpoint regarding other matters too. V'savar, Rabbi Shua figured, Yabdinan Kavasei Bachad, if we follow his position on this matter, Abdinan Kavasei Bachanais, everybody would just adopt all his viewpoints on other things as well. And it's going to be very difficult to undo that. Umishum kvaydai, and out of deference to his honor during his lifetime, we wouldn't want to oppose him. Umishum kvaydai, but lezlo matzino madchinam buli. We're not going to be able to turn people away and oppose them and be moicha, protest it, right? Lo matzino machinam akam to protest what they're doing. Olaachab tirasu shabalezros. That's why they opted out completely. But after he passed away, well, they would have an easier time. The Matsinu Machinabu, in which case it would be easier to clarify matters. Rabbi Yisrael, only this, but nothing else. In that case, he felt safe to adopt Rabbi Lezer's position in this matter. Hechser, he restored the matter as Hadavah Yoshnai to its former status. Meaning that we adopted Rabbi Elazar's position that all four women will have dayashat. Okay, speaking about Paskin or Rabbi Elazar, Amar Bidam HaShmuel, so Shmuel tells us, Halach Rabbi Elazar ba'arba. In four matters only do we adopt Rabbi Elazar's position. Which are the four? Chada, the first one is Damar, the one that we just mentioned. Bidach, the next one, Hamakash. Rashi explains like this. A woman is Makasha, she's experiencing birth pangs. And she sees Dam. And she's now during the Ziva period of her month. In which case, if she sees Dam 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gadoila, requires a carbon, but the Alocha is. In contrast to Nida, where even if it comes about, it's triggered by some sort of external force, she becomes Tamid. But by Ziva, it's not so. It has to be a naturally occurring phenomenon. Machmas atzma Rashi brings. Vloy machmas vlad. Can't be triggered by a vlad, by birth, by the upcoming birth. So she's being makash. She's experiencing, the difficulties preceding birth. So if in fact this experience is attributed to the birth, the dam would not make her a zava. But now, those pangs have ceased. took the break for a bit, and then she gives birth. The question is, shall we still link the dam that she saw yesterday to the tomorrow's birth? Or do we say, no, it's separate experiences? The fact is, she took a break from the pangs. It's a new experience. That's, you know, Ziva, and this is later. So it really depends how long that break was. Kama Tishva, how long is this quiet, you know, period? Which would disconnect, de-link the blood from the future birth. Tezava, which will make her a Zava. Because we no longer attribute the blood to the birth. Meisleis, 24 hours. So basically, if she had seen Dom Sunday, Monday, then she took a break from the pain. And then a day later, she had a baby. The baby is the baby, and the blood is the blood. So she's still a Zava. So going to be the Ezra, a 24-hour break does it. And that's how we paskin. Okay, so that's the second example of paskin on Rabbi Elazar. The third case is Hazava, Hazava, Shabbat, Go, Atzman, Yom, Rishon. Okay, it's very relevant today. So you have a Zav and a Zava. This says the same would apply to an Isha neither today, which observes the 7 clean days. So they check themselves, supposed to do it for 7 days straight. They check themselves only day 1 and day 7. Shabbat, Go, Atzman, Yom, Rishon. First day they check the Matzu Tar. And they discover themselves to be okay. And they skipped all the way to day 7. Yom Shiyu Matzu Tar. They only checked the first and 7. They didn't check the rest of the day. What happens now? So there's a pasuk which says, Achar Titar, you have to have 7 consecutive clean days. Perhaps they were clean days, but they're unconfirmed. You got the head and the tail, but not the middle. We have a 3-way machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer, Aymer, not to worry. Even though preferably you should be checking every day, but here, look, you got both ends. You assume that they're tar. You started okay, you ended okay, you assume everything is okay. The Rishu has a unique opinion. He says, you only have 2 days on your record. You have to add another 5. You have day 1 and day 7, which were confirmed to be okay. And first, I'll explain, it's a chumar midrabbana, meaning that a Torah, you assume that she's okay, but you may have seen dam in the middle. So midrabbana, we discount those middle days. Kiva Omer, no. All you have is day 7, and day 7 becomes day 1. Ein lahem elayim shivuvad v'tanya. How do we pass from Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi? I'm going to explain in terms of comparing the opinions, which one seems more plausible to us? Nirin, divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's opinion seems more plausible to us. Midivrei Yeshua from Yeshua, because Rabbi Elazar says, look, you have a chazaka, you're okay. We assume you're okay despite not having done a proper, thorough examination throughout the middle days. Over Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you have day 1 and day 7 on your record. Which seems like a contradiction, because if you're concerned about blood in the middle, then day 1 is gone, because that's what happens. If there's any dam in the middle, it cancels all previous days. But truthfully, Rekiva's opinion, which is that only day 7 counts, everything else has to be discounted, seems more plausible than all the other shittas. But the bottom line is, halacha is Kerev Eliezer. Okay, so here's your third case on your list. What's the fourth vidach? It's not Rabbi Mishnah. Chayre Kalim Shenitvu v'mashkin. You have a utensil whose back, right, the back of the kli, not the inside, the back, was tainted by liquids which are tummy. You have a liquid that touched, you know, sheretz. It sprayed onto the back of a kli. Now the halacha is that min ha-tumah, this kli is tar because a kli could only accept tumah from an av ha-tumah, from a source of tumah, like a nevela. Or even mashkin, but mashkin which were produced by a zav, like a saliva, but just plain liquids which happen to touch a sheretz, which is a rishon l'tumah, cannot affect the kli. But midrabanan, the kli is tameh, and only the back. The reason is because it can be confused with mashkin of a zav. So that's why we say every mashkin which are tameh can affect the kli. But if it touched the back of the kli, only the back is tameh. It's limited to that zone. If it touched the inside, we say, look, you know, the inside is the primary zone, primary usage area. It's like the ikar, like in brachas we say, you know, you make a bracha on the ikar, then the tafel is the yaitzit, the whole. So once the inside becomes tameh, the whole thing, the outside too. But if the, only the back touched the mashkin, which I told you, only the back becomes tameh. So the zone is limited to the back zone. And number two, it will only convey to him in a limited fashion. Quantum lesser. if the back of the kli in turn touches liquids which are tahor, they become tameh. Only liquids, but if it touched food, the food is unaffected. And the reason is because liquids are more liable to become tameh. You see, in contrast to food, which has to go through a process of hechsher lekabel tumah, has to get wet and the whole situation, liquids are alulin lekabel tumah. They're much easily becoming tameh. They're more susceptible to tumah. So Chacham made a gzera that if they will come into contact with the back of this kli, which got its tumah from mashkin, again, it's only tumah derabanan, but it will be metameh other mashkin, but not other foods. Rabbi Elazar, I remember Tamas HaMashkin. So the back of these kelim, which became tamei midrabanan, will in turn affect other liquids. Vein poison zayich, but not foods. So let's say it's food, even if truma, does not become affected by the back of the kli. And the Gemara explains Metamas HaMashkin avil dechulin. So any liquid which touched the back of the kli, even if the liquid is chulin, becomes tamei. Vein poison zayich, avil the truma. Rabbi Shua, no, I disagree. Metamas HaMashkin no poison zayich. The back of this kli will be metame mashkin, like you say, but if it touched solid food, which happens to be truma, it also becomes affected. Are we sure? It's a kavah chaymer. Uma tful yoyim. Look, a tful yoyim, who has a din of a shein of the tumah, can disqualify truma if he touches it, but cannot affect chulin, like we learned before. Shein metame mashkin chulin, you can't affect liquids of chulin at all. Nevertheless, poisel echle truma, you can disqualify truma foods. Certainly, achir kelim shematame mashke chulin, the back of the kli, which is gonna be matame mashke chulin, has that advantage. Of course, it should affect truma as well. And it in shepoisel should affect oichle truma solids. Rabbi Elazar responds, no, achir kelim drabon. The whole idea that the back of a kli that became is only drabon. But tefil yom deraisa, how could you compare it to your story of a tefil yom? That's minat Torah. It's even time of truma. You can't compare the rabbanim and the raisa. Like, didn't come a chaim. You can't make a kavah chaim from the raisa to the rabbanim. Let me explain my position. The raisa, because truthfully, min haTorah ain't oichel metame kli. Ain't mashka metame kli. A kli cannot become tame through food and liquid touching it. But rabbanu the gozer. The only reason why in this case we say the back of the kli is tame by touching the tame liquid is in the rabbanim, on account of the the zav saliva gzerim shum mashkan the zav. So the whole idea of the back of the kli being tummy through liquids is only with the rabbanon. So number one, it's limited to that zone, to the back of the kli. Number two, it's limited in its ability to convey tumor. It only affects drinks. Mashkin, because liquids, the alulim, which are more liable to kabbal tumor, because like we explained, you don't have to go through the heksher process. It's much easier to become tummy. So because it's so close to tumor, gozu rabbanon apply the tumor on that. If they touch the back of these kelim, but solids, which have to undergo a whole process, hechsher tuma, they ain't alone in the kabbalah, they don't have the susceptibility of tuma like liquids, and therefore, since they're further away from tuma to begin with, loy gazru burabona, but not apply xera if the solids touch the back of the kli. Now, why do we speak about a back of a kli? Why do we discuss the back of the kli specifically? Because there's a leniency on the back of those kelim. Like we explained, this now we have this Mishnah. Klishnit machoirav b'mashkin. A kli whose back got affected by the unclean, mashkin, achoirav tameh. So in that case, since the back of the kli, the outside is a secondary usage area, so we limit it to that area. And the rest of the kli is spirit, toichoi, the inside, aznai, some sort of like ornamental, like an ear, like a handle, oignai, a lip. Aznai, it's oizen, it's oignai, it's lip, yodav, it's handle, toir, and they're okay, they're tar. But nitma toichoi, kulo tome, let's say the mashkin tmein came into the kli itself, which is the primary usage area, the whole thing gets affected, the inside and the outside. And you're right, in that case, explains Rashi, Rabbi Elazar would agree. Since we're considering the whole kli tameh, we treat it like a regular tumah, deraisa, sort of, and therefore, it can convey tumah even to foods, as opposed to the case where the kli was only affected from the outside, in which case the whole tumah is just limited to that zone, so it's limited in the way it can convey tumah as well, in its scope and its power, and it only affects other liquids. Okay, so here's the fourth item on our halacha Rabbi Elazar list, which Shmuel had presented for us. And the question now is, my kamashmon, Shmuel, what's Shmuel's teaching us here? In all four cases, we follow Rabbi Lazar. B'kulu t'nan, hilchasa. Go through the four cases. You'll see in each one of them it says, halakha Rabbi Lazar, halakha Rabbi Lazar. So what's the point of promoting it again? Yeah, all except for the last one. B'chitema, perhaps you'll say, acharikeum kamashmon, like t'nan. The point was for the fourth example, with the Kli got tummy, where there's no explicit conclusion that we follow Rabbi Lazar. So that's what it was needed for. Okay, if that's all he was trying to teach us, Lema halakha Rabbi Lazar achar kelim, so you should just specify. Look, you should know, Rabbi Yisai, in the case of the kelim, we pass Rabbi Lazar. Why do you have to say in four cases? Elo hakamash malon, shein lamedin halachim pitam. Shmuel's point was to convey to us, never conclude a halacha based on what was stated in the Mishnah or Braisa. Even if the Mishnah says, halakha Rabbi Lazar, we cannot adopt it. Why? Why is that? Oh, so one second, before we get to why, that's why Shmuel had to get up and declare, independently of the Mishnais and the Brais, you should know, after analyzing it, after discussing it, the Amiraim have concluded, that in fact, in these four cases, we follow Rabbi Lezer's Shita. But otherwise, we could not conclude based on the wording of the Mishnah itself, even though it says halakha Rabbi Lazar. Why is that? So Rashi explains here. Very interesting, Rashi. Let's see it inside. Five lines on the bottom. The fact that Shmuel had to go out of his way and declare the halakha to be like Rabbi Lazar. We learn from it. We can't learn halakha mpi Talmud. What does that mean? What does Talmud mean? Talmud typically is used in reference to Gemara. So Rashi says there were two versions of Talmud. There was the earlier version of Talmud, the time of Mishnayis. Talmud means to delve and to analyze, right? Even if you find the words halach kiplani in the Mishnah and Braisa, ain lamedman, you can't derive from it. Because Shamayroim, because the later generation, Shamayroim, hachroim tiktiku b'tayim atanoim b'mida halach aburi, they really delved into the depth of the opinions of the Tanoim, and they derived the clarity of halacha by sort of evaluating and considering all the different opinions and the factors and the aval rishon l'diktiku ish b'divei chaveri, as opposed to the earlier generation, they did not go into that world of going and analyzing the other's opinions. Elo kol echad ma shashamei rabbi melam zel talmidei shmuel kamashi. Rather, the system was that every tana would convey to his students what he heard from his rabbi. That's it. Yosef nekus mishnah b'raisa. That's what we call mishnah b'raisa. Clear cut, halacha is conveyed from Rebbe to Tana. So each Tana would, delve into his position and present it, with the whole background and the understanding. Each one would present the reason, the rationale for his opinion. That's what you're supposed to learn. First, you learn more, superficial, then you delve. But bottom line, it was more personal. Voices were on that depth and that understanding. We said Nikos Talmud the Tanoim. So that's what we call Talmud, the Talmud version of the Tanoim, or Mishnah. And therefore, if you find any Mishnah Sheshniba Psak Halacha, Misvaras Talmud Shenishnis. If you find the words Halacha KXX in a Mishnah, that is the Talmud version of the Tanaic era. But us, later on, we can't conclude based on that. We can't go with it. Because it was meant to be developed further. And as the Maharim did, they incorporated all the various positions and opinions, weighed through them, evaluated them, and concluded accordingly. That's how we have to work with. So that obligated Shmuel to get up and make that declaration, Halakha Rabbi Lazar, in four cases. I think more later we'll ask, we'll see tomorrow with Hashem, why is it just four? It seems like it's five, like it's six. We'll see that tomorrow with Hashem. Okay, bottom line, Truma, Kodesh have higher standards regarding, susceptibility to Tumah. They're more fragile, more sensitive. What about Chulin, which is related to Chala, related to Truma? So we discussed all kinds of variations and levels of concern, which apply, which don't apply. For the Mishnah, Mez Leis is ordinarily applied to a woman, except by those four Nashim, that's what we pass them, Pasma Belezer, Veris, Minika, Zakena, and Sula. We discussed the qualifications of each And we have the Shmuel's declaration that we pass on Rabbi Eliezer in four cases, one of which are the four women in our Mishnah. Okay, all the best to you and Atzlocha Rabbah.